Today, we're starting a new message series. Today, we're talking about, as I said with the kids, we're talking about spiritual warfare. This is something we hear about a lot among Christians and around us. But in fact, what's true is that our lives as Christians, we don't simply kind of live our lives on our own. And sometimes we make good choices and sometimes we make bad choices. In fact, Scripture teaches us that we have an enemy. And his name is Satan. And he's always trying to pull us away from Jesus, who saves us. We're going to see what this is about today and for these next few weeks. So we're talking about spiritual warfare in our lives as Christians. And today I want to start with the story of Jill. Jill was a young woman. She was a nurse. And she wasn't married, but she was pregnant with her second child. And Jill, she was a Christian, but her faith had mainly been shaped by TV evangelists. And so she would watch their broadcasts weekly where they promised success and money and prosperity for the faithful. Yet Jill came from a poor family and, you know, she didn't have much and she continued to not have much. And so as she watched these shows, she would start to wonder to herself. She would think, what's wrong with me and why aren't I receiving all the benefits that my TV preachers have promised? Jill turned to her friends for help. One of whom told her about a spiritual advisor from Miami whom she thought could help Jill. Jill gave this man a call, and without knowing it, she had connected herself with a voodoo priest. At first, Jill spoke with a man by phone. He said he would pray for her. He said he would send to her a spirit of abundance, which would help her to finally find success in life. And yet, when Jill's financial situation still didn't change, the priest said that more help would be necessary. He would have to visit her in person to remove, he said, she had a generational curse placed on her family, that somehow one of her ancestors had angered the spirits, or perhaps a powerful person had placed that curse on her family, and this priest said he would need to visit her personally in order to remove this curse. Jill agreed to pay for his travel expenses and his services. The visit would be expensive, she knew, just not quite how expensive. But Jill believed it would be worth the cost, and after all, she didn't know what else she could do. She needed help, and she felt like this man was the only one who could help her. The day arrived, and the priest flew into town. Jill picked him up at the airport, and when they arrived at Jill's home, the ritual began. First, they made offerings to Jill's ancestors. The voodoo priest said that if she made an offering to these ancestors, then they might be inclined to help her in the fight, in the battle against the spirit which oppressed her. The priest then performed several rituals to remove her curse, to defend her and even her unborn baby against evil spirits. And finally, with all these rituals completed, the priest revealed his price for performing these services. And it was way too much for Jill to pay all at once. They negotiated the terms for Jill to pay her debt over an extended period of time. And this voodoo priest left her that day with these words. He said, "If you fail to pay even one payment, the spirits will return with even more terrifying spirits to destroy your life and the lives of your children." Now that morning, Jill had been filled with hope that this man could help her, and now she was only disgusted with him. She was afraid of the promises he had made. She felt like she was worse off. She went to the airport, sent him away. For a time after his visit, Jill made these payments as they agreed. But Jill's condition failed to improve. She remained afraid even more so than before she had contacted the man in the first place. Since she wasn't finding any help, eventually Jill decided to try another spiritual expert. She found a Christian pastor, and this man said that, well, he had never heard anything about the stuff that she described and the rituals that the man had performed, but he advised her just to break off all contact with this voodoo priest. The priest was furious, and he promised the spirits would return to her with a vengeance. And now, you know, to this point, you might be thinking that this voodoo priest, he's simply playing on Jill's fear, her lack of knowledge regarding the supernatural. But from the time that Jill broke off her contact with this priest, she truly experienced some spiritual attacks. She saw visions of dead relatives. She saw dark shadow people around her. She was physically attacked by others when this didn't typically happen to her. This wasn't commonplace. Her youngest child, the one who had not yet been born when she experienced these rituals, he also experienced visions and terrifying nightmares. Jill reached out for help once again, this time to a chaplain at the hospital where she worked as a nurse. The chaplain was a Lutheran, and he said that he thought perhaps he could help her. He said that he would come to her home and pray with her. Let's come back to Jill's story in a moment. As I said, we're starting a new message series on spiritual warfare. And I'll say up front that Jill's story and some others will share, they come from a book, come to me from a book called Afraid by Robert Bennett. I'm always happy to say, you know, I don't have all the best ideas. So I'm working a lot from a book here by a man named Robert Bennett. He's a professor at our Concordia Seminary here in town. He's a good guy, and he's given us a great guide to spiritual warfare, which is something that, frankly, I'm glad for, because as Lutherans, we tend to not talk about this too much, and we sometimes don't do a great job of talking about it. And one of my goals in this series is to help us to understand that spiritual warfare, although it doesn't often look like Jill's story, spiritual warfare is not an occasional occurrence in our lives as Christians. Spiritual warfare happens all the time. And now I'll say, I don't know where you're at with this. You know, I don't know if you see every day through a spiritual lens, or maybe you think of spirits, demons, things like that as stuff that, well, other people deal with. Or maybe you think it's all made up altogether in the first place. But I can tell you from our scripture reading today that the Apostle Paul does want us to see the world and our lives of faith in a spiritual way. Our reading for today comes from Ephesians chapter 6. And this comes at the end of a long section in Paul's letter where he is teaching the Ephesian Christians what it means now to live their lives in Christ. He's given them practical stuff. And so Paul says to them at the end of this section, now, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so Paul, when he says this, what he's trying to teach us, he's saying that every temptation we experience, it's not just a temptation. It's a scheme of the devil targeted at you. He says every time we neglect God's word and his commands when it comes to living our lives, that's a scheme of the devil. Every time we avoid the people of God, every time we disrespect our parents and other authorities, every time we speak hurtful words or take hurtful actions towards another person, every time we seek sex or sexuality outside of God's design, every time we take from one another and we steal, every time we speak untrue words, every time that we are jealous of those around us, these aren't simply sins and failures on our part, although they are, to be sure, sins and failures on our part. These things, Paul would say, are Satan's victories in our lives. As Paul said, our struggle in this life is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual powers of this dark world. And so if this is really how things are, then a question arises. What are we supposed to do? Because I know that on my own, I'm no match for Satan. If there are really demons and evil spirits around us, then how am I supposed to deal with that? How am I supposed to fight something that I can't even see? How am I supposed to fight something I can't even sense? This might make you afraid. The answer for us is to trust in Jesus. This is what Paul says, and he continues. He says, we fight against the dark spiritual forces of this world, and he continues by saying, therefore now put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I know, you know, many pastors have spent a long time explaining, expounding on each of these pieces of the armor of God. This could be a whole sermon series from these five verses. And I know that you've heard those sorts of things before. So all I want to say about the armor of God today is that I want you to notice each of these things is really a gift from God. I want us to realize that preparing for spiritual warfare is more about you receiving something than it is about you doing something. Because when we think about the belt of truth, for example, that's God's gift to us. You know, there's no special technique I can teach you to distinguish truth from lies or a lying spirit from a truthful spirit. All I can tell you is that God's word is truth. And even Jesus says, I am the truth, and we can trust him. If we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, that also is God's gift. We know that we are not righteous on our own, but we are made righteous. We become righteous through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. As he forgives your sins, as he makes you right with God, you become righteous. The gospel of peace, he mentions, is God's gift of good news in Jesus Christ. That's given to us so that we might be saved. And when we're filled with the good news, we're also made ready to live as the people of God in every situation. The shield of faith, that's God's gift of trust in Jesus, our Savior. You know, Martin Luther says something great. He reminds us, he says, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and kept me in the true faith. The helmet of salvation is God's gift of victory over sin, death, and the devil. In Jesus, we are really saved from all kinds of evil in the world. And the sword of the Spirit is God's word. God's gift of his word so that we might know him rightly, so that we might live rightly, so that we might follow him rightly every day of our lives. And it's a sword because it's truly through his word that God has defeated the power of Satan over us. And so these things, all of this, it points us to two facts. And the first is what Paul said in the first part of the statement. We can't get away from spiritual warfare. It's part of our lives. It's all around us. It's every day. But also, the second thing we need to realize is that we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid because we have a defense. We have a defender, and his name is Jesus. You know, that's why the title of this message series is A Mighty Fortress, because the real burden of spiritual warfare is not on us. It's not on you and me. Jesus fights for us, and our goal on this battlefield should really be to stay safe in Jesus and the gifts that he gives, in God's word, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in Christian fellowship and worship together. You know, you don't want to go fight Satan on your own. I don't. And in fact, you can't. But Jesus fights for you. He's our defense and he is our fortress. For those of you who are military-minded, you'll recognize the idea of siege warfare. Have you ever heard of that? In the ancient world, this happened a whole lot. And the idea is that if you have a well-prepared city, you've got a city with strong walls, you've got a city with a secure source of water, you've been saving food, stockpiled just in case. If you have a well-prepared city and you see an enemy army marching over the horizon to come and take your city away from you, what is the smart move for you as a defender to make? Is it to run out onto the field of battle and engage them where anything could happen? Or do you retreat to your city and take up guard behind your strong walls and rely on those supplies that you have while your enemy wastes all their energy trying to break through? What's the smart move to make? Well, if you're smart and prepared and you see that enemy coming, then you'll run for the fortress. You'll run for the fortress. And that really is our model for spiritual warfare today. Because we too, we have a Lord who defends us as our fortress. We know that we have a Lord who provides for us through his word and sacraments. We know that we have a Lord who is there for us. And when Satan comes looking for us, when Satan tries to get us, all we have to do is run to our defender and his gifts, because Satan can't beat him. And even though we have to deal with Satan and his demons today, we know that's part of our lives. We know that the cavalry is coming. And when Jesus comes back on that last day, he's going to defeat Satan forever. That sounds like good news to me. And that's why this is not going to be a message series today and for the next 10 weeks. It's not going to be a message series of tips and tricks on how you can identify and respond to spiritual attacks in your life, because that's not the point. That's really not that helpful for us as Christians. So we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about God's word and sacraments. We're going to talk about faithful Christian teaching, because these are the things which will protect us from Satan and his schemes. And so we'll talk about modern American spirituality and where that's good and where that's bad. We'll spend a couple weeks talking about worldviews. We'll see how the biblical worldview is different from so many different ideas swirling around us today. We'll talk about our addictive society, which traps us in so many ways. And yes, we'll talk about spiritualists. We'll talk about talking to ghosts and spirits. We'll talk about what's an exorcism and when do we do one. And in the end, what we'll see is that spiritual warfare is something that it's ongoing in our lives. It's a regular part of our lives as followers of Jesus. And for me as a pastor, I can say it's a regular part of pastoral care. What it's not is it's not something that needs to be scary. It's not something that needs to be set aside and locked in a closet and never talked about because who's going to think of what they think about me? I hope that over the next several weeks we'll be able to make spiritual warfare a part of our vocabulary here. That we'll recognize our temptations and even our sins as the activity of Satan in our lives. And more than that, we'll recognize that Jesus is our defender and in him we don't need to be afraid. And if you are dealing with spiritual things, whether that's obvious or not so obvious, things like anger, things like hatred, things like fear indeed, things which keep you away from God or his people or his word, or even if you're just wondering whether this is something that happens in your life, well, talk to me. I would love to talk with you about that. If you hear anything over these next several weeks that makes you think, well, maybe I'm dealing with that or something like that, well, talk to me because I don't want you to be afraid either. So let's go back to Jill. Jill asked that Lutheran chaplain for help, and he visited her several times, first alone, and then he brought along another pastor who had more experience in dealing with the demonic. Each time they visited Jill's home, they didn't do anything extraordinary. They shared the words of Scripture, which talk about Jesus' victory over Satan and his demons. They prayed for Jesus' protection over Jill and her family, and they even sang songs together. Songs together that talk about Jesus' victory over Satan. And for Jill, the turning point in her experience, even though she was experiencing these extraordinary spiritual attacks, and they were addressed through ordinary spiritual blessings. For Jill, the turning point was when she began to understand who she was in Jesus Christ. Because what opened her to this fear was, well, years before, she had heard those TV evangelists promising wealth, and she thought there was something wrong with her because she wasn't wealthy. And then she spoke with this voodoo priest who came along and told her that spirits and curses had attached themselves to her and her family, and so she thought, there's something wrong with me again, and I need his help. And Jill's own conscience had tormented her too, right? Children born out of wedlock, looked down upon by her family and community, she felt that there was something wrong with her. But she grew to understand that those statements and those feelings and those thoughts were lies. They were schemes of the devil, and Jesus would throw them out. What Jill heard from those two pastors was the good news that no matter what we've done wrong, Jesus can make it right. Yes, Jill had made mistakes. Yes, Jill had committed sins, but in Jesus Christ, she was forgiven. In Jesus Christ, she was made right. And in Jesus Christ, she did not need to be afraid. And that spiritual attack, not all at once, but over time, it went away. And the message for us today is the same message that Jill heard and Jill needed, that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, Jesus has come for you. And in his name, you are forgiven of all of your sins. In his name, you are made right with God in heaven, and he will defend you. He's bigger and stronger than anything Satan can throw at us. He's our mighty fortress. And in Jesus, we are not afraid. Amen.